it is difficult to imagine something like this happening. Now, we read about it in the book of Acts happening not only to Peter, but to later to Paul and to the other apostles as well. All they're doing is publicly proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus, and they end up in prison for doing this, not on one occasion, but on several occasions. And in Acts chapter 12, Peter finds himself both in and out of prison. We'll be talking about Peter's escape from prison in Acts chapter 12 with Deaconess Pam Nielsen for the next half hour of Issues, etc. I do invite your questions or comments on Peter's escape from prison and for the next hour and a half, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm very well, and how are you?
Doing great. It's a wonderful day.
This would not, I dare say, under the current legal system that we live, could not happen today in our American context, that someone simply proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus would find themselves in prison. How could it be that in their day that was a criminal offense?
Well, I think we know in some places in the world, even in our day, that it's a criminal offense, or at least that people are imprisoned or persecuted pretty severely in places like China and in other countries. You're right, not here. But in this day, where Peter is alive, post the resurrection of Jesus, post his ascension, and post Pentecost, when the church is young and it's growing, and you have people like Peter, God's men, preachers, preaching and proclaiming the Word of God, and you have ruling leaders like this King Herod, who were jealous of that, jealous of the people putting any loyalty or any trust in or any praise to anybody but themselves. And on top of that, seeing this as a growing movement, more and more people being drawn into this Christian world, caused a lot of rage for Herod. And the way this text begins in Acts chapter 12, he first, it says in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John. That's the two sons of Zebedee that we've read about in the Gospels. And then verse 3, it says, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. So he not only for his own pride and ego, but then seeing that it made the Jewish people happy for him to do that, well, that just fed his ego. Okay, I'm going to go out and get another Christian, another preacher, and I'm going to arrest him and make plans to kill him, which is what he did. And he was going to do it during a festival, during the Days of Unleavened Bread, which is a significant festival for the Jewish people, to make a big show of it. So God used that delay in his plan to kill Peter to get Peter out of prison.
Now, I think we should note here that this places the arrest of Peter here by Herod, and probably the death of James as well, one calendar year after, or more or less, after Jesus' death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm. So that's all very, very fresh in the people's minds and in the leaders' minds, and all of those events that of what took place. And you still have, of course, eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He had been seen, you know, at Book of Acts tells us, by more than 500. So there were plenty of eyewitnesses walking around, and all of this is part of the swell and the growth of this young Christian church and the Holy Spirit working through the preached word in these villages and towns and cities. And so there's still that tension. They killed Christ. They want to kill his followers. Indeed, very great persecution.
So tell us the story of how imprisoned by probably second most powerful person in the region, Herod, second only to Pilate at this point, how Peter managed to escape.
Well, if this is a wonderful story, it's a favorite in Sunday school. we've all grown up on this amazing story, because he's indeed arrested. He's put into prison, and Herod, to make sure that nothing happens to him, because, you know, back in Acts chapter 5, there was another little incident with Peter in prison and him getting out. He puts four squads of soldiers around to guard him, and kept in prison. He was shackled, and he was put to between two soldiers in his cells for to be on either side of him while he slept. And then there were sentries at the door of the cell and of the prison. So you have all of this human plans to make sure nothing happens to him. And then verse 7, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. And here is God sending his help. He strikes Peter on the side, waking him, and tells him to get up. And as he does, those chains fall off. The angel tells him, get dressed, put on your sandals. And then he says, put your cloak around you and follow me. And they simply, verse 9, and he went out and followed him. And he didn't know what was being done by the angel, if it was real or not. It says Peter thought he was seeing a vision. I mean, they're walking out of this locked prison. Chains just fall off of his hands. This is not anything that he has from his human experience. And they walk past the first guard and the second guard, and they get to the iron gate that leads into the city, and it opens for them of its own accord. Nobody has to open it. It just opens. And they go out and walk along the street, and then the angel leaves them. So then Peter, you know, comes to himself, and he's obviously not in the prison, and he realizes and proclaims, I'm sure that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me. And then when he realizes it, he goes to the house of Mary. He knocks, that's the mother of John, and talks to the people there. The little servant girl recognizes his voice at the door, and she's so excited she leaves him at the door and runs to tell the people inside. They think she's nuts, tell her she's out of her mind, that there's no way Peter would be there. But they follow her to the door, and then they see him, and they're amazed. And then he tells them, you know, don't talk about it. Keep it quiet. And he tells them the story. And then he goes on and goes to another place, and with the instructions to them to tell this to the other disciples. And then you have this wonderful, well, not wonderful, but kind of an amazing end. Of course, the soldiers are perplexed. And they're in big trouble because the prisoner's been lost. Herod orders them to be killed. That is the punishment if you lose your prisoner, and indeed he carries that out on them. But Herod puts on his royal robes. He takes up his seat, and he speaks to the people of Tyre and Sidon, and the people shout to him, a voice of God and not of a man, and they praise him. And then, you know, God immediately sends an angel to strike him down because he didn't give God the glory. He took the people's praise as if he were God. And it says he was eaten by worms and he breathed his last. And then verse 24, beautiful, but the word of God increased and multiplied. And the church goes on, and that's, you know, the great message through all this persecution. God's word has its way, and the church continues to grow through the preaching of his word.
With about a minute here, it really shows how perilous, how dangerous, and how much bloodshed took place in opposition to the earliest preaching of the gospel. About 30 seconds for your thoughts there.
Well, that's exactly right. This faith that you and I confess, that we is granted to our children at the font of baptism, this came through the blood of Jesus, most certainly, and through the blood of his disciples and the pastors and preachers in the early church, those who confessed the faith, ordinary Christians who stood fast when they were arrested and persecuted and thrown into lions' rings or put in prison, whatever their punishment for confessing the name of Christ. This is a faith worth dying for. It is the only faith. And here we have this great cloud of witnesses who have been part of it and who stood fast, and they give us courage in our day for our faith when we face persecution of any kind.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, more on Peter's escape from prison in Acts chapter 12. If you lose, go to jail. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in the town. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak, so don't you be around. A mighty fortress is our God. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on Acts chapter 12, Peter escaping from prison. Actually, it's hardly Peter who escapes. He's broken out of prison by God himself. Remarkable story. What does it say about how, regardless of the circumstances in which we Christians find ourselves or may find ourselves, God never forsakes us? We'll talk about that in just a minute. A little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Dr. Robert George is going to join us. We'll talk about a new Gallup poll on Americans' ideas and thoughts on abortion. Then Pastor Glenn Merritt will bring us up to date on Joplin tornado relief. Over 100 dead in that Midwest town from a tornado over the weekend. Pastor Bill Swirla will help us figure out how it is Harold Camping failed to do the math correctly when he was assuring us it was an infallible proof he'd found in the Bible, and now he's literally changed the date of the end of the world since it didn't come on Saturday, May the 21st. That's coming up in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Pam, there seems to be, at least the way Luke is telling this story, initially, and it doesn't always happen this way, but it certainly happens here, kind of a perfect justice meted out in one single chapter from the beginning to the end, from Herod having the upper hand to Herod himself falling under God's judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. And it's very swift. It's very severe, right to, you know, the soldiers who were guarding Peter being killed at the order of Herod, and then Herod being his life being taken by an angel of the Lord. And then, you know, let's put the icing on the cake, having him be eaten by worms as he breathed his last. I mean, this was very complete and swift judgment. And it does say something about our God and how important it is, the confession of his name and that he is the one and only true God, and how he loves and cares for his church and his people. Never promised that we wouldn't be persecuted, never promised that there wouldn't be trouble or hardship for his people in this world, in this life. But this is a clear picture that he is well aware and he is acting for his people and for his church and for the furthering of his gospel so that others might be saved and be with him when they meet their day's end on this earth. So it's a very clear message here. And how God was with Peter, sending that angel and leading him through. And for all of us that you know, in our human sinfulness, doubt the power of God in our lives and what he can do. You know, this was so amazing that Peter thought he was having a vision, having a dream or something, because he simply walked out. Gates opened for him. Guards kept sleeping. Chains fell off. This is a miracle. God did it then. He can and still does miracles today in the way that he chooses, but always for the furthering of his kingdom, for the good of his church.
It seems also to show not only God's goodwill toward his people, but at least for Peter, I imagine it would be difficult for him ever to really, truly despair, no matter how many times he got tossed into prison from this point forward. I mean, eventually it will lead to his death.
That's right.
His martyrdom. But I imagine for him after this night realizing, you know, there are no prison walls or guards that can actually hold me if Christ wants me free to preach the gospel.
That's exactly right. And it's with that boldness that we can go out as God's people into our callings and vocations, and that our pastors can climb into their pulpits every week and preach. Preach with the boldness of the gospel, because you're exactly right. There is nothing that's going to stop that proclamation of God's word if that's what God wants to happen. And he goes with his people, he goes before them, and he cares for them. And, you know, this is the same Peter who denied our Lord in the garden, and that we talked about not so long ago during Lent, and the Peter who made the great confession. There's a history here with him and his God, and God's been training him, and you know, in the seminary of Jesus, really learning who God is for him, and it's recorded for us so that we can learn who God is for us. Same God. Same love for us, and it's really an incredible story, but a lot going on here. And, you know, I think with our Sunday school teachers, helpful that you take some time and look at this text, and because the kids are going to hear the name Herod, the king, and they're going to think, now that's the same Herod back when Jesus was born or when Jesus died, but this is a third-generation Herod. You want to take some time and get all these people straight because they're names that we've heard before in Sunday school. They're names that we've heard before in the life of Christ, and maybe even recount some of the stories where these people were before mentioned or their predecessors, like the first Herod and the second Herod, and this is the third-generation Herod, and they all seem to hate the truth about who God is and who Christ is for the world, always going after his people.
I remember as a parish pastor often saying to my people that while we don't face persecution, the kind that many Christians face today and Christians have faced throughout the centuries for the proclamation of the gospel for the time being, it may well be, there is no guarantee that our grandchildren, our children or grandchildren might not face exactly that kind of persecution, either here or elsewhere. How would you talk to a Sunday school class about that possibility for them in the future?
Well, it's a very hard subject to bring up, isn't it? And we're talking to children, but I think we have to talk to them about this, and we And it's why we teach these stories. It's why these Bible stories are recorded for us. They're true stories. They really happen, and they're there not only for our salvation, but also to give us strength in our faith in this life as we face whatever comes our way. And yes, persecution is a reality in our world, maybe not unto death in our country, but, you know, you can begin to help a child understand how persecution might be something where somebody doesn't get a job because they're Christian and they want off on Sunday morning so they can go to church, or they're cut out of a promotion, or you know, the softer kinds of persecution, if you will, to help children understand that it isn't always unto death, but it's Satan working to push down the people of God, and to get us not to confess and not to be bold in who we are and whose we are. But I think we can also, certainly with the older children, middle grades and up, talk about persecutions that do get this severe within our world today, in faraway places, and there are many modern accounts of persecution. But not to dwell on the persecution, but then to really drive home who Christ is for us, the Christ who died on the cross, who's vanquished our worst enemy. No persecution is greater than what the devil wanted for us and was stopped. That was stopped on the cross by Jesus Christ. And no matter what we face, no matter what our life is, our Lord goes with us all the way. We are His children, baptized, holy and precious in His sight. And His angels watch over us, and He is with us through all of it. And He will lead us home to heaven and bring us home safe in His arms to eternity because of His death on the cross. That is our end. And so we can be like Peter as well, knowing where we're headed and where we're going, and knowing that our God, who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, will not let anything happen to us that isn't part of His good and perfect will, and ultimately for our good and our care eternally.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You know what I find remarkable is, even in the absence of real persecution, many churches failed to preach the gospel with that boldness. Think about Peter. Do you think you'd ever fear again to preach the gospel, knowing that no prison guard, no prison walls, no gates, no chains could hold him if Christ wanted him free to preach the gospel? This is why it's a good rule of thumb for your pastor every time he steps up into the pulpit. Preach that sermon like it may be your last. Preach that sermon like the guards are really waiting at the door to drag you off to prison. Any pastor worth his salt, if he preached that sermon like his last, we'll be preaching Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. By the way, Growing in Christ is a great Sunday school curriculum that is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Order a complimentary free excerpt from it from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. They have free samples for you, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, it's hour two. Dr. Robert George will join us of Princeton University to talk about the new Gallup poll on abortion. We'll get an update on Joplin tornado relief, and then figure out how Harold Camping could have been so wrong and still making more predictions.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.